It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Moving on in the last 10 minutes of our program to talk about something completely different. It's commonly thought that teaching science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM areas, is only about facts and objective information. But new research put into practice at Iowa State University tells us it's about more than that. For the rest of the hour, I want to talk about exploring how learning improves when teachers recognize diversity in the classroom and treat it as a positive asset. Joining us for that conversation, Sarah Rodriguez, assistant professor in the School of Education at Iowa State University. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. Also, Sriram Sundarajan is with us, a professor of mechanical engineering at Iowa State University in our Ames studio. Sriram, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
And let me start with Sarah here. We have a little less than 10 minutes here. Sarah, you now investigate, I understand, how identities interact to shape minority students and specifically Latinas studying STEM areas. Start with how you experienced learning a STEM field growing up as a woman and as a Latina.
Yeah, you know, I was always really, really fascinated by STEM fields, but I never really quite felt a part of those STEM fields. I did everything that you should have done, you know, according to all of our predictors. I did the eighth grade algebra. I did the advanced courses. I was a high school aerospace scholar with NASA, but I never really felt as though I was a part of that environment. I didn't see anyone that looked like me. I didn't see anyone really that was a woman, that was successful, that was Latina. So long story short, I actually ended up being an English major. I went to the opposite side.
Okay. With all those credentials early on, how does that happen? Can you now, with your expertise, as you investigate identities and minority students and STEM fields, how were you channeled into an English major when you had so many strengths in the STEM field?
Yeah, you know, I think that the thing about STEM fields is it's identity is so important. It's how one understands and positions oneself in the STEM culture. It's how others within the STEM culture recognize them. And it's really how you become a part of that community or don't, as in my case. And so now, as a professor, I've been able to have research looking at STEM identity development for Latinas, really investigating how they develop that identity. How do they come to know themselves as a STEM individual? Like, do they feel as though they're a scientist? Do they feel as though they're an engineer? And understanding how that process works.
Mm-hmm. So what have you discovered in your research?
Yeah, so I'm looking specifically at Latinas for many reasons. And, you know, the Latino community is growing, not just across the United States, but also here in Iowa. We see that we really have to tap into this pool. And so I did so with my research. It's a qualitative study really looking at Latinas in STEM. And so in terms of what I found, three major points I think that we need to think about is the fact that STEM identity development is continuously complex. And the way that Latinas make sense of that identity is really based on their formal and informal experiences, both in and outside of the classroom, especially when we're talking about their interactions with their peers, with their faculty members. So really what I found was that Latinas are really making sense of their STEM identities based on the fact that not only are they Latina, but they're a woman, they're a racial ethnic minority, and that is really driving the way that they see themselves.
Can you give us an example of a conversation, an interaction that you think would be illustrate what you're saying?
Yeah, so one of the young women that was in my study, actually, her quote in one of the studies is, especially because you're a girl, people don't expect you to be a Latina girl who's an engineer. They look at you different. Or another young woman said that she was not perceived as smart sometimes when she was with her male peers. You continuously see that these young women are having to prove themselves over and over, and that their male peers especially aren't really taking them seriously in the field.
Mm, interesting. Sriram, we want to get to you. You're part of an Iowa experimental program to stimulate competitive research's diversity and inclusion task force. Give us a broad overview of what that's about, how that fits into this conversation.
So the NSF EBSCoR grant is built is designed to build research capacity and increase competitiveness for the state. And the niche area is renewable energy. But integrated with that research effort is what you mentioned, which is how can we improve or enhance the diversity of those efforts, and that's a key element of this federally funded program. So going off of what Sarah said, one key element is to make sure that the individuals from the underrepresented groups are treated well by the majority groups. So part of this is kind of increasing their awareness and training, and there's a particular element for it called unconscious bias that creeps into the way that we may be interacting with these groups or evaluating these groups. And so that's part of what the EBSCoR grant is been doing, which is taking the training modules in this area that Iowa State has developed and kind of working with our colleagues at University of Iowa as well as University of Northern Iowa and trying to increase their awareness in the way that they handle their interactions with these groups.
You said unconscious bias. What is an unconscious bias I may have about someone in the STEM area?
So the best example would be an unconscious bias that we may have with respect to gender. So there's a lot of research that shows that typically due to various messaging through advertisements, through billboards and things like that, as well as our societal constructs, that there is a association of male with career and women with home. Okay, so this kind of creeps into all the decisions that we might make, especially when we make those decisions in short time. So our brain takes shortcuts and takes that kind of implicit association into our decision-making process. So our first step is to create awareness of this so that you may, hopefully you recognize this as you're making decisions and try to account for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what groups, Sriram, are underrepresented in the STEM field? So women, what other ethnic groups perhaps?
Women are underrepresented, Latinas, Latinos, African Americans, Native Americans are underrepresented, as well as people with different gender identities are also underrepresented. And mm-hmm. another group is individuals with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Certainly a problem when one looks at it as an individual. You want to be treated fairly. If you have aspirations to work in the STEM fields, you should be able to do that and not be hindered. Why, though, would this be a problem on a societal level? Why do we as a society want to have a diverse field in STEM fields?
That's a good question. So there are two viewpoints here, and both kind of make sense. One is that there's a lot of research that shows that a diverse group solves complex problems more efficiently and provides better solutions. Now, if different viewpoints and experiences are brought to the table, now the conversations might be a little bit more challenging, but the resulting solution to a complex problem is a lot more robust and a lot more viable. So that's one aspect. In other words, diversity enhances excellence. Okay. Mm. The second thing is, of course, the viewpoint that it's the right thing to do. And as Sarah pointed out, we have the demographics that are shifting in our country here. And certainly we want to tap the talent that is available in all the groups. It would make no sense for us to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot by ignoring the talent pool that is available in all the groups and the identities that are there in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Rodriguez, I want to ask both of you, but before we leave this conversation in a couple minutes, so what is the solution? What is the way out? How do we improve diversity in the STEM fields? Sarah, what is your research? What does your work tell you?
Absolutely. I think the first thing that we can do, which I know EBSCoR was talking about a little bit, is training educational stakeholders to reduce unconscious bias. So really, we're talking about addressing racism, addressing sexism very directly and not being bashful about that. So really training educational stakeholders to understand the presence and the importance that these identities have on the STEM identity development of students. Also to provide opportunities for students to express those multiple identities. So whether that means integrating identity-specific experiences into the curriculum, so making it more culturally relevant, or highlighting perhaps culturally relevant examples of innovation, or encouraging particular identity-specific things to be an option, or also looking at really trying to encourage Latinas and other students of color and underrepresented minorities to redefine what we think of as a STEM person. So creating the person that they want to see as a STEM person, rather than having this sort of image of a scientist as an Einstein
mm-hmm.
sort of figure.
Okay, in our last minute of conversation, Sriram, add to that. as far as a remedy here?
Yeah, I think those are two good things. One is to provide the opportunities for the students, for the individuals in these groups. And there are a lot of modes for this through graduate student research or research, as well as engaging the pipeline from kindergarten all the way to high school. So that's certainly one. You want to show them that this is a possible path for them. And the second thing, as Sarah pointed out, is the educational aspect of the stakeholders. I think this is, it's called, I would refer to it as culture change. And this takes time, but we have to be relentless and persistent. And I think over time, as you show them that these efforts, thinking differently, being inclusive, has its benefits, everyone will start buying into it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Sriram, back me up on this, we have to start at the earliest ages to get these identities in place.
Absolutely. I think there are some ads on TV that exemplify this. I recall an ad where, you know, there's a boy and a girl playing, and the parents are constantly telling the girls not to get her hands dirty. Don't worry about the tools. Your brothers will handle it. So that's an example where early on you kind of reinforce unconsciously and you veer an individual away from what they might really want to do based on some kind of expectations that we have as a society.
Okay, I want to thank you both for joining us for this short conversation as we talk about diversity and the STEM fields and learning. Sriram Sundarajan is a professor of mechanical engineering at Iowa State University, part of the Iowa Experimental Program to Stimulate Competitive Research's Diversity and Inclusion, a task force works on the EPSCoR team. And thank you very much for coming into our studio, Sriram.
Thanks very much for having me, Ben.
Sarah Rodriguez, Assistant Professor in the School of Education at ISU, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow on this program, I'll be joined by U.S. Secretary of Energy, Ernest Moniz. He's coming to Iowa to deliver the undergraduate commencement address at Iowa State University, also to visit the Ames Laboratory. That's the site of a new facility for atomic-level research. So a conversation with U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz is a part of our News Buzz edition. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. Jason Burns helped out today. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.